Hi, this is Spencer, and this is Next Exit, Episode 2. And today we talk to Andrea, who is a librarian-turned-bar owner. And we find out how she became a bar owner and talk about a number of different things, such as, you know, the concern she has over health insurance and how you go from having a 9-to-5 day job to a night job. And a few other things. It was a really fun conversation. I hope you guys enjoy it too. So my guest today is Andrea McCauley. I think I met Andrea in 2009 when we both worked at Pew Charitable Trust. She was at that point, I think, studying for a master's in library sciences, which she completed a few years ago. And then she decided to make a change. She and her fiance, Pat, opened a bar called the Oddity Bar. It's in Wilmington, Delaware. It's a cool bar with a big old stage and has music most nights of the week. So that's a big change in careers and a good subject for the discussion on this podcast. So welcome, Andrea. Thanks for joining me.
Sure thing. Hi there. My name's Andrea McCauley. I'm 47. I'll be 48 next month. And I most recently got my master's in library and information science from Rutgers with a concentration in digital libraries. And I previously have a undergraduate degree from the University of Delaware in criminal justice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's those are big changes.
I was a paralegal for about 7 years, so it's sort of tied into that
degree,
but yeah.
So like I said in the intro, we worked together at the Pew Charitable Trust in the Philadelphia location. How long were you there before you moved on to your current job?
I was at Pew for 11 years. But the first, what was it, like five, I was an assistant to one of the directors. And then the last like 5-6, I was in the library research services.
So your role even in library services was kind of an evolution of what your career was.
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you tell us what you do now?
So now I am the owner and manager of a bar, Oddity Bar in Wilmington, Delaware, as you said. Yeah, and I also do all the social media and marketing. And my partner, fiance, Pat, he's more like the hands-on kind of there managing, which I also do, but primarily, yeah, I do a lot more like behind-the-scenes stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you transitioned. So what led to your transitioning out of the library sciences world and into owning a bar?
Yeah, so for me, it was really kind of unexpected. I mean, I had, you know, thought I would be continuing my career in library science for, you know, years to come. And I was, you know, getting my master's degree. And then there was a big restructuring at Pew. And my position was being moved to our DC office. So I, kind of was a change that I hadn't really planned on. And so meanwhile, you know, I knew that a little bit in advance. And then this opportunity to buy a bar came up. So, and my partner, you know, Pat, he was looking to for career change, and it all just kind of came together and was sort of almost happening at the same time while I was finishing my master's and finishing my career at Pew, and then buying and opening a bar.
Right. So it's not like you were unhappy with what you were doing at Pew, right?
Right. No, I actually loved my job. I loved my boss, and our team was really great. So yeah, I was actually really, sad to, not be there anymore.
Gotcha.
But yeah. And yeah, so it's a little bit different too. With, I mean, some other people do to make a career change, I guess.
Right. So when you left Pew, when you left Pew, did you look for roles specifically at, or did you try looking for anything in library sciences, or did this come up at just the right time where that wasn't, you didn't actually entertain anything like that?
Yeah, it all happened really all at the same time. So I really put my focus into the bar, and we did a lot of changes there, like remodeling, and we did ourselves. So it was just really like totally switching gears
right.
to this other project. And I mean, I looked, I don't know, I think briefly before the bar really started to come together. But then once it became more of a real thing, my attention focused on that.
So we're going to go back, right? So we're talking probably, what was it, like March, April or so of 2013?
It was my last day at Pew was, I think, like March 24th or something. And we had actually, I think, started the process to purchase the bar in February.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it was, now I forget when we actually signed all the finalized the paperwork, but I think it was really soon after my last day at Pew. And then we just started the renovations and everything before we opened in the middle of June.
Okay. So during that time, what did it feel like to you? I mean, it sounds like kind of crazy, right? You think about it, like you're going from a job where you work 8:30 to 5 every day, and you go on to a bar, which things are a little, it's kind of almost the opposite of that. How did that feel to you, and what were the kind of reactions that you were getting from your friends and family at the time?
It was a total lifestyle change and career change altogether. And my family was supportive. My mom, I mean, she was definitely a little worried. And also, I had worked so hard to get my master's, and, I actually graduated at, I guess it was like kind of the mid to end of May. And then we were opening the bar in a couple of weeks. So it was kind of crazy. And, a lot of restaurants, bars, they fail. They don't last very long. It's a tough industry. So definitely there were a lot of concerns. But then I really had a lot of support, at least I think externally to my face. People were being supportive. I don't know if they were actually questioning my decision deep down. But and the hours were kind of, when we were doing the renovations, we were still doing a lot of stuff during the day. But then, when the bar opened, that whole switching schedules, I still kind of struggle with. It's still like you feel a little out of step with the rest of the world. And even though I'm not there as much as I was in the beginning, where I was really there bartending, and, it's still, you're still kind of try to stay on that schedule somewhat. So yeah, I always feel guilty that I'm like sleeping too late or, you know, just, yeah.
when in fact you, oh, that's right, I went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't come home and fall right to sleep. Even if we get out of the bar, usually, you know, it takes a while to clean up and all that, depending on how busy we are. But even if I'm home by, you know, like 2:30, I mean, I still
are up.
Am up a couple hours no matter what I do. So, yeah.
So let me go back to something. So you, you were at Pew in library sciences before this, and you were a paralegal before that. Did you have any bar experience leading into this?
No. I didn't have any, and neither did Pat, my partner. but he had owned his own businesses through the years. He was a tattoo artist, and he also owned his own shops. And so, you know, at least, I mean, he had that business experience, which is really what made me feel, you know, a little more comfortable with stepping into this. But, and also we had some great kind of mentors. Pat's really good friends with two bar owners here in Wilmington at a bar called the Nomad Bar. It's primarily like a jazz bar. So it's a little, you know, different from what we were doing, but they really helped us on, you know, a lot of the business in questions like pricing, even the, you know, inventory, the liquor, beers, and how to set up the bar. So that was really great. Like how to set up, you know, kind of like stations that would make it most proficient, the glassware and everything like that, and supplies we would need. So that was really, really helpful.
Yeah, that has to be but, kind of worth its weight in gold, having somebody who has that level of experience kind of reaching out to help you.
Yes. I mean, with, you know, without that, it would have been really difficult.
You know, I mean,
kind of a lot of it is sort of common sense. And Pat and I also like went out to eat and drink a lot. And so you kind of, you know, observe how, especially after we knew we were doing this, but we kind of, you know, really would observe more how things were set up, how other places were run. And so,
yeah. Well, I think I've told you in the past, like I actually have had I've always thought about opening up a coffee shop, but one of the things that always stops me is the lack of experience. Like I've never done that, you know? And so, and I kind of always feel that there's always going to be some sort of a barrier. So I'm really impressed that you were able to find a way, even though you don't have direct experience, you know, you have relative experience and you didn't have direct experience in opening a bar, that you figured out a way to open a bar and make it successful. I mean, 5 years is awesome. You know, and so I find that impressive that you were able to find that experience somewhere else to help you out.
Yeah. I mean, we also had really great staff. I mean, when we first, you know, opened like our grand opening, we had some of our friends who are bartenders who came and like kind of guest bartended for us. And then, we got our first head bartender, Lizanne, who joined us, maybe it was like 2 or 3 weeks after we had opened. And she was amazing. Like we got really lucky because she really taught us tons of things behind the bar about, you know, bartending and just a lot. She was really great. She had been a bartender server for about 10 years before we were able to have her.
That's awesome.
Work with her. Yeah, so that was really really great. And she was a friend of a friend, so a lot of the business too we were lucky because we have like a network of friends, and and that really helped also. And also, I mean, just the word of mouth too, with like getting the word out that we were opening a bar. It was pretty cool that a lot of people were really excited. So that was nice.
So you go through this point in time where you're moving from one career into to one where you're more in control, right? So you're the boss and you're responsible for not just the business, but for taking care of yourself. Were there things that you were more worried about kind of giving up going into that? So things such, I mean, like a regular paycheck, the, you know, health insurance, I assume is a big thing. And you even mentioned like lifestyle changes, like, or you mentioned that you and Pat would go out and eat and drink a lot. Like, did you have to make lifestyle changes like that when you went into this new phase?
Yeah. I mean, definitely being your own boss, my own boss, it's got a lot of perks, but it also, I mean, especially, yeah, in the beginning, I was really nervous because I had never worked. I'd always worked for someone else. I had always been lucky enough to make sure kind of I had a job that had benefits and like, you know, Pew had great benefits. And that was probably my biggest concern. But I mean, Pat, he was used to working for himself, and he had been doing that for about, gosh, I think almost 20 years. So it wasn't as big of a concern to him. But the healthcare, definitely, that around that same time was when Obamacare was taking effect. So that really honestly gave me a lot of I felt like security I needed, that I would actually be able to get, you know, affordable healthcare, which has kind of changed now. So, in the beginning, I mean, we really didn't really have to make many lifestyle changes because we were actually really doing well. And yeah, the healthcare costs, I guess we're not like the hot new place, and our business is kind of leveled out. So I feel like we kind of had to make a little more changes recently, and with like healthcare costs have definitely, they've gone way up. And apparently in Delaware this year, the costs, there's only one provider left, like Highmark, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. So so now I feel like it's impacting us a bit more, and kind of have to reel it in a little. So yeah, I guess, and that's what, you know, owning a business, it's just, even though we've made it to 5 years, you still just don't really know what the future is going to hold. So
my wife and I used to watch this TV show, Love It or List It, and it was based out of, I think, the Toronto area, somewhere in Canada. Yeah. And one of the things that we would always remark on is the fact that everybody seemed to work from home, work for themselves, or own their own business, or a lot of people did. And we would then comment on the fact that having socialized health kind of gave you that freedom to do that, as opposed to having to work for a big company to get your health insurance. You could capitalize on a really good idea or something that you wanted to do for yourself and know that you would have a safety net in terms of health insurance so that you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, among the other small business owners I'm friends with, it's one of the top concerns. And, you know, I have a couple of friends who are probably going to have to go back to work for someone else, even though their business is successful. It's just not enough to cover healthcare. Because, I mean, I think just for one of them, their healthcare monthly is like close to $1,000. I mean, it's just crazy. And even mine, I mean, it's gone from, you know, I think I paid like $142 a month at one point to right now, I mean, it's close to $500 a month. And So that's still getting a little bit of a tax credit, which, you know, I have no idea if that's going to go away. And so that really impacts too, like all of your other savings, like 401k or, you know, for the future. It's really difficult when you're paying that much a month in healthcare. And so, yeah, it's really, I feel like a really big concern and detriment to people who would like to open their own businesses or, you know, go to work for themselves. And especially, I mean, as you get older, I mean, that's kind of when you might have a little more money, maybe to start something for yourself, like your own business. But that's when you kind of, you know, need healthcare more. So
it's really, you know, and it doesn't seem like that we're anywhere closer to solving this problem. Actually it may feel like, maybe we're a bit closer than we were in 2008, but over the course of the last five years, it seems like we've gone backwards a little bit.
I mean, that's a major, I would say for me, probably one of my biggest stressors, just not knowing, you know, how much, it's going to cost me, you know, next year, or, you know, and with your, I mean, our, what we take in, you know, for our salaries has kind of, like I said, leveled out. We kind of know what to expect, but, with those other costs, you know, that are, you can't, really anticipate right now. it's a little stressful.
So now that you've made the change, is it what you imagined going into it? Did it, you know, meet your expectations, exceeded, or does it fall short anyhow?
I mean, I think I was pretty realistic about what it was going to be like. Pat, I think he was a little more idealistic, but he thought, I mean, I don't know. I think it can be really fun, you know, owning a bar, and, you know, it'll be so fun. But, you know, there's a lot of, like, you're just things like he didn't have to worry about it being a tattoo, shop owner. You know, we constantly have, you just never know, like with the refrigeration, like the keg boxes or the, you know, the beer fridge, like plumbing, you know, little things like that. There just seems to be constant upkeep and whatnot. You know, we really, we have live music, like 3 nights a week, and just, you know, making, like, booking the bands and kind of trying to keep up with the, like, newest, hippest, or, you know, like the new things. Like, it's just, you know, kind of, it's a lot more work than, Pat thought, but I kind of anticipated it. I mean, I know it looks so glamorous from the other side, but, you know, even bartending, like, I don't know, probably 60% of the job is cleaning. So, I had also about 10 or gosh, maybe longer years ago, went with my friend Casey, and I were thinking of opening a bar, and we went to the Delaware Small Business Center, and they were really helpful, and they set up a meeting with us with a local bar manager, and he kind of gave us, you know, like the real scoop, and that actually scared us out of doing it. So I don't know, when Pat, you know, this opportunity presented itself, I mean, if it wasn't for his, you know, experience in business and his enthusiasm and just like his ability to really make pretty much anything work, I wouldn't have been able to do it alone, definitely. But it's worked out because I have the background, like my social media, like from the library and information science background, actually, you know, it's really helped with doing social media and marketing for the bar. And so us together did make like a good team. I think it all worked out.
And honestly, so. I said this before, that you can always find a reason not to do something. And that's always the thing that I've struggled with myself, is that you can look at a situation and opening a bar, and there's a million reasons why you shouldn't do it. But to be able to just kind of get in there and actually find yourself in a situation and make it work. I'm impressed by anybody that's able to do that.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, like, yeah, if it wasn't for, I feel like, you know, Pat's kind of pushing forward, I'm always the more, I mean, I don't want to say cautious. Negative, but I'm just like, sometimes I feel maybe cautious, overly cautious, you know. I have like my mom's, you know, voice in my head, like who, you know, like grew up with, you know, a lot of financial instability, pretty poor, and just not wanting me to have that kind of life, and you know, making sure I went to college, and then, you know, I was getting my master's, and so it was kind of like, I'm so torn. And then I grew up with a stepfather who was also a tattoo artist and musician, and I mean, he had regular jobs also, but he was way more. I feel like I'm like a half of my mom, half of my stepdad, Fred, who was, you know, kind of a free spirit. So it's always a little internal struggle there. So, but I think it's good because it balances, you know, me and Pat out, like him being the more freewheeling.
So knowing what you know now, would you do it again? And assuming you would, how would you approach going through it differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would probably do it again. It's, I guess I don't know. It was just such a learning experience. And maybe being like, for me, I mean, Pat's like really, actually he's way more focused than I am for the most part, which I guess probably because he's had years of working maybe for himself, but I still kind of struggle with, you know, not having a set schedule really, or, you know, someone supervising you, or knowing your, I mean, you know what you have to do, right. But you know, not having
it's a discipline.
Like, someone. Yeah. So sometimes I still struggle with that. I don't know. I also, you know, I feel like I had some, you know, stuff with my family going on, like with my mom was ill. And so there was a lot of, things that kind of got thrown in there. But I'm really thankful, though, if I hadn't had the flexibility of working like for myself, I don't know how I would have ever been able to be with my, you know, mom as much as I would. And so that was like a major positive thing that, you know, came out of working for myself. And I guess it's just like, for me, maybe be a little more structured, maybe even though you don't have to maybe write down kind of a, put more things in writing, like goals for yourself, something like that, I think might've been helpful for me. So, but you get kind of caught up in that, you know, like that whole being up, you know, all these crazy hours and then waking up and going right back into it. Cause in the beginning, you know, I was bartending. And so, yeah, the lack of structure, I feel like for me, so, was a little.
And we're just about to run out of time. If you were to give, a recommendation to anybody that is, you know, thinking about changing their careers, what would you recommend to them?
I guess, like for us, it was really important to have the mentors we had, you know, and I mean, it seems like a lot of the contacts and personal relationships we had with people like in the industry really helped us like immeasurably because, you know, you can only learn so much right. from reading or, you know, until you do it. So I guess I would say, you know, maybe just if you have that kind of network of people that you can go to, that's really, was really important for us. And also gives you some expectations and yeah, and you're not really just jumping in and
right.
going it alone and trying to figure it out Excellent. On your own. Yeah.
Well, Andrea, I want to thank you for giving me some of your time today. Have a good one.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
So there we go. That was episode 2. And, you know, I definitely picked up a few things that I'm going to try and take to heart. And one of those things, I kind of wrote down a note as I was listening to this for like the 50th time, that sometimes circumstance creates the opportunity. And you have to be able to understand that and see the opportunity and just kind of jump on it. You know, it's really cool that Andrea and Pat were able to have been able to be successful. And it's not like they entered into this with a grand plan with every step laid out. They saw the opportunity and they moved on it. And so it's definitely something I'm going to think about and try and learn. If you have any comments, please send those to nextexit@marketinghead.com. Again, that is nextexit@marketinghead.com. I think the email was not working before, but now it is. So, you know, fire those away. And we'll talk to you soon.